Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Our next conversation is sponsored by PointsBet with Sam Panionovich, who follows sports and wagering and sports wagering for us. Nice to see you, Sam. You're good?
You too. Who sits in this chair before I do?
Dave Bennett does.
Okay. Well, we need to get him a booster or something.
Don't say that.
Well, you know.
Can't you adjust the seat or find one that's more comfortable for you?
I can't go any lower.
Oh, you can go lower. I've seen you out.
I don't know what that means. You know I love Dave, too. Dave's excited. Cats football tomorrow.
Yeah. I am interested in, okay, here's what I am. I'm hopeful first. Interested doesn't even capture how I feel about Big Ten football. I'm hopeful, and I hope the team does well. And then I would be excited. First, I got to be hopeful that it happens, and then if it goes well, I'll be excited. Illinois was surprisingly good last year. Be nice to see if they can do that again, although nobody expects them to win a bunch of games like they did last year. And then you got Northwestern, that's probably going to be a, what, middling team in the Big Ten this year?
I don't know about middling. They have a quarterback this year. They have Peyton Ramsey, who was a pretty good player at Indiana. He's one of those grad transfers, and he supposedly is going to unleash this offense that has a couple senior wide receivers, a pretty good back and Bowser, and a pretty stable offensive line. They got this kid from Maine South playing left tackle. He's a freshman. He's going to start. He's like 6'5", 295, lean, mean machine. So if the quarterback can play well, Northwestern can win some games. Illinois got a little lucky last year, had the Lovie Smith turnover luck. I don't know that that will repeat itself this year, but guess what? It doesn't matter what I think, because we can't even bet on these games in Illinois. We can't bet on Illinois.
You're not.
We can't bet on
that.
Northwestern. We can't bet on Illinois State. We can't do it because the government says we can.
We talked about that last week. You don't like that rule. I'm picking that up myself. I think it's silly myself.
I want to bet against Illinois.
I
want to do is bet against Illinois, and I can't bet against Illinois. Yeah. Well, this week they play Wisconsin. Actually, tomorrow night, Wisconsin's a 20-point favorite. But, yeah, we can bet on every team except for teams that live in Illinois or games in Illinois.
It's weird to me, too, to think, okay, so Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio State, these, you know, big power teams in the Big Ten are still there. They've still been off my radar. I'm like, oh yeah, is Wisconsin still good? They didn't go away, but they've just been so off my radar, I haven't even thought about them. But yeah, they still got a bunch of big kids that go to Wisconsin. I guess they've been practicing, and now that really good team's going to trot out onto the field.
Those Wisconsin linemen, they drink buttermilk from the age of three.
Wisconsin's always impressed me with just the girth of their boys.
That's a good word.
They're big human beings. In fact, I've thought this before. Say I was born and grew up to be 6'7", 300, and you would say, wow, you could be a tight end in the NFL. My problem would be, I don't want to be a tight end in the NFL. What a wasted resource my carriage would be, but I don't want to have people run into me and hit me in the head. That really hurts. I don't think I'd like it. I don't have the disposition for the NFL. But there you are. God gave you an NFL body. Now, if I was 6'8", 247, I would be a really good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take that to the court, but I'm this. So I got nothing.
What are you checking at right now?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you.
You're not going to tell. Well, the height, did you go down yet? People start to go down when they get, you know. They call that the corkscrew, right? When you go the other way?
Bears at Rams on Monday night, so talk to me about this.
Well, again, the Chicago Bears are an underdog. We have this conversation pretty much every single week. This will be their seventh game, and they have been underdogs six times.
Wow.
So the market continues to, well, let me say this. The odds makers don't respect the Bears, but the market respects the Bears because odds makers will put up a game like Tampa Bay minus six, and then the game will get bet down to Tampa minus three. Bears beat the Buccaneers. Last week, odds makers opened up Carolina minus three. It closed Carolina minus one. More money on Chicago. They win again. So Monday night, Bears at the Rams. Rams opened up minus seven, a touchdown favorite at home, and right now it's Rams minus six. So the early apple bite again is on the Chicago Bears, a team who has made people money.
Was the last Bears game against Jacksonville their most credible game?
The Carolina game, you mean?
Yeah,
it was okay. I mean, I still think the defense is the best in the division.
Well, that's part of the team.
Arguably the best in the conference. So I don't know that it was a full picture. I think they had half the picture, and that was on the defensive side of the ball. The offense is still really janky and erratic and not consistent.
Quarterback looked good to start the game.
And then he threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in the second quarter.
A touchdown in the middle of the end zone where 18 guys jumped up and he threaded the needle. I thought, holy cow, they did make the right decision.
But then he also, late in that fourth quarter, when they needed a first down to end the game, they need 10 yards, win the game. The play calling, just weird. They keep doing this thing where they throw the ball, like if it's third and five, they throw it 3 yards to a receiver who's either running sideways or backwards.
Yeah.
And I never understand, if you need 5 yards, why don't you throw it 6 yards?
The NFL has really been a very offensive league this year. Teams are putting up big points.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we've got the defense that we do. Are we capable of scoring the kind of points other teams are?
Well, no, they're not. I mean, but Chicago, there's not really a margin for error, because if the defense has an off day, which will happen, you know, newsflash, over 16 games, they're not going to be elite for all 16. The offense is going to have some games where they sort of carry the water, and that's just, that's not looking like a thing. But, I mean, Chicago, the defense 2 years ago was very, very good. They were like top three in almost every category. Bears defense this year already is looking like it's better than it was 2 years ago. They're only allowing 19 points per game.
And a year where teams are scoring more than 19 a game. So, what's the over-under on this, points scored?
Over-under in this game, I believe it's 45 now. Yeah, it opened 46, now 45. I think points bet down to 44.5.
If we hold them to 19, that means we're going to score 26. I think I'll take the under on that. How about you?
I think you landed right on the number. 26 and 19 is 45, right?
Yeah, right. But, I mean, so I don't think it's going to get to that.
I don't think it will either. I mean, Chicago's been such a good under team this year,
yeah.
And they rank second in total defense, second against the pass, 11th against the run.
So wait a minute. Are the Bears supposed to win this game or the Rams?
No, the Rams are supposed to win by six, yeah. According
to the
odds makers.
I got the wrong points on the teams there.
It sounds like you like Chicago plus six.
If that's what I just said, then yes.
Well, you said 26-17 or 26-19,
yeah.
Bears.
Yeah.
But the Bears are supposed to lose by that many.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I don't know what I'm talking about. You've got
to
remember
that. Well, sometimes that's half the battle, right?
All right, it's 10:43. Let's pause here. I want to ask you a little bit more about some of the other events. You've also got the bet of the week, where somebody bets an insane amount of money to win an insane amount of money. And also what some of the political wagers are. That's sometimes telling. This is WGN. Sam's conversation with us. We talk about sports and wagering, and sometimes sports wagering. So the Rams are supposed to win. The Bears are getting 6 points. And we said the over-under is like 45.
I agree with you on the under. Now, let's remember, you are 2-0 this year with your, like, you know, what's the word? It's not pragmatic. It's sort of, what's the approach? You're kind of like half in, half out.
Yeah, right.
But you're 2-0. I mean, you had Brady under, and then last week you had the Bears. So I think you, maybe you can get a sponsor.
So are we. So my pick this week is the under. That's the one that we'll go by.
Okay,
that's
close your eyes. Yeah, wiggle your toes. There you go. Under 45.
Billy Donovan is 25-1 to win the NBA Coach of the Year.
Yes, he is. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen, but when you think about what Chicago has done the last 3 years, they've won 27, 22, and 22. One of those seasons obviously caught a little bit short.
He's the new up-and-coming coach.
He is. If the Bulls can win like 45 or 50 games this year, he's certainly going to be in the running, and PointsBet has that market up right now. They have MVP, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year.
Who's going to be the MVP? And this is for next basketball season.
Yeah, the season just ended 11 days ago.
So
this is for next year.
Is LeBron the MVP next year?
LeBron is actually like 7th or 8th. I think the favorite right now is the kid in Milwaukee, the Greek freak, Giannis. He's the favorite. And then the kid in Dallas, Luka Doncic.
He is my favorite player in a long time.
He's second on the list. And the narrative is sort of there. This is going into his 22-year-old season. So he's, you know, he's just recently allowed to drink.
Think about how good he is.
Well, he was playing when he was 14.
And how good he's been for a while.
When he was 14, Doncic, he was playing with 16 and 17-year-olds in Europe. And he was running circles around them then. And that was sort of the knock on the European players. Well, you know, they come over and they're just not as good.
Tony Kukoc.
Kukoc was good, but Kukoc was supposed to be, you know, the next Jordan. Some
Ricky Rubio was
Rubio
supposed
was
to.
Rubio was not. Yeah, but Doncic has been playing with grown men since he was like 15, 16 years old. And
the
it shows.
Thing about him is his game is fun to watch, but he just seems to also be having fun. He does act like a 20-year-old out there sometimes.
Yeah, so Donovan, if the Bulls have, you know, a decent season and they win 45 or 50 games, which, you know, the East isn't that great. I'm not saying the Bulls are going to win the championship, but, you know, Billy Donovan, if he turns it around and they win twice the amount of games, he'll get votes.
You want to talk about this UFC 254 Saturday night fight? I don't even know what I just said.
Yeah, it's just a big fight. It's in Abu Dhabi. If you're a fighter or a boxer, fan of boxing or fighting, it's Khabib and Gaethje, and Khabib is a very heavy favorite.
Is this boxing or the thing where
this
they let
UFC,
each other kick?
They just let each other just wail on them however they want.
You watch that stuff?
Not really, but a lot of people do.
I think Rome had some of this before it fell.
Who's the best UFC fighter at WGN Radio? Who do you think?
Okay.
You get to throw one person in the octagon, you have to win. Who do you throw in there?
I mean, and they can use their nails and elbows and knees and just go to town.
I would pick Manfredini, probably.
Manfredini would be good, but, you know, Lou's got a good heart. I think when it came to the kill, Lou would just go, I can't do it. My producer, Elif, she's not a big person, but I think she's a focused person. I think Elif could just wail on something.
You're picking Elif over Manfredini
oh,
in the
God,
octagon.
Yes, that's a can of corn. But I'm also thinking, if you just said Ultimate Fighter, who would be the most tenacious person at this radio station?
Ennett's up there, too.
I put Ennett in there for sure. I'm going to get back to you on that.
Okay.
I'm actually seriously wondering now, who would I most fear seeing on the other side of the thing?
Bertrand, not Bertrand. No.
We have a lot of nice people here. I don't know who we have that's going to just go, I'm going to kill you just for the fun of it. I don't know who that person is.
I'm picturing Surratt in the octagon right now. Like, you know, suitcase
Tell
on the line.
Tell me what the bet of the week was.
It's Chicago related. So Cole Kmet is a native of this land. He played his high school football at St. Viator. He played for the Fighting Jarrett Paytons. He also played college football at Notre Dame. You mentioned the touchdown earlier from Nick Foles. Well, Cole Kmet was 100-1 to catch the game's first touchdown last week. So if you put $100 down, you made $10,000. I know some people that bet more than $100. And at 100-1 on 3rd and 9, Nick Foles dropped back, surveyed the defense, fired a laser through 8 people, and Cole Kmet caught it to complete a 100-1 bet on him to score the first touchdown. So it's not a million-dollar bet like we've had, but, you know, $10 made you $1,000. $100 made you $10,000.
Wow.
100-1, Cole Kmet.
I should have put $500 on that.
That would have made you $50,000.
Yeah. I could use $50,000. I could also use $500, though. So I've got to be willing. This is the thing, Sam. You've got to be willing to lose the money to make the money.
Five would have made you $500.
Write that down somewhere. You got to be willing to lose the money to make the money.
I have that tattooed on my rib cage, actually.
Let's move on then to...
What, do you want to do the presidential stuff?
Well, just a little bit. I mean, hopefully this isn't how we're going to pick the next president.
Well, I mean,
Debate is tonight.
Right. I think the more fascinating conversation, rather than talk about what color tie Donald Trump or Joe Biden will wear, I think when you look at, and again, these are offshore bets, but when you look at the states to be red or blue, these are actual betting options in some of the different markets around the world.
Yeah.
So I made you a little hit sheet of, you know, the red favorites and the blue favorites.
Hold on, I'm going to go to it here before we do, but just... Humor me for one
okay,
second.
Sure.
Because there's all kinds of crazy bets, right? Like, what's the first word one of them is going to say? Will they use this word or phrase? How long before Donald Trump mentions Hunter Biden? The over-under is 15 minutes and 30 seconds. But what color tie do they wear? And I don't care if you bet or not. I just want to guess that Donald Trump will wear a solid red tie.
Okay.
Joe Biden will have a blue tie with white stripes. That's my final answer. And then there's a thing called a parlay on that bet. The colors of the ties. And we hear this word parlay on these ads all the time, and I don't know what a parlay means.
So a parlay is a bet. It could be two teams, it could be three, it could be four. All of them have to win. It
you
extrapolates the odd, yes, but they all have to win. So say, for example, I like the Bears and the under this weekend. The Bears and the under both have to win for that two-team parlay to win.
So parlay means you combine your two bets.
Correct, but they all have to win.
And so if you get... them both right, then you win more than you would have separately.
It looks like, according to this place, we could actually parlay Trump's striped tie and Biden's striped tie.
No, it's Trump's solid tie.
Oh, you want Trump's solid tie. Well, that's the favorite. That's no fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Trump's solid tie.
About that.
Trump's solid tie and Biden's striped tie is the favorite.
Yeah, okay.
But they both have to happen. If one of them doesn't happen, you lose
you
the parlay.
That.
And the more teams you parlay, if you parlay like 7 or 8 teams, the odds explode. They like get exponentially larger.
Right. Is there something like that in horse racing then?
Yeah, sort of, but it's more the trifecta, superfecta, right? When you have to win, or if you box it. Yeah, it's similar. Similar where you pick multiple horses to do the same thing.
What are the people who are spending money on this saying about which way the states are going to go?
Right, so the red states right now, according to the offshore markets, Florida, slight to the red, -130. You have to risk 130 to win 100.
These are all. Can you tell me what that means in a percentage, -130?
-130 would be like 52%, 53%.
Okay, so but the betting money is that Florida is slightly favored to go Republican.
Yeah, correct. Let me check that real quick. -130 is actually 56%. My apologies.
You've got that on your phone?
No, I have it. I have a tab I had to click. I wasn't ready for the first time ever.
I don't have a tab to click on that.
I know.
Iowa.
-180. So we're getting a little bit higher here. -180 implies probability of 64%.
Iowa's going to go red.
Mm-hmm. Ohio is -190,
more
just a little bit higher.
Red. Really?
And Texas, which, you know, some people thought maybe Texas would go blue.
I thought Texas was more in play.
No, Republicans -400, which is 80% in the state of Texas.
That's not anybody's polling of voters in Texas. That's people in Europe betting on what they think the outcome of the Texas presidential vote will be.
Correct.
Okay, what do they say on the blue side?
Michigan is -250 to the blue. That is 71%.
I drove through Michigan, and I believe that. What else you got?
Very interesting swing state. North Carolina is -135, which is about 57% blue. Pennsylvania, a little bit higher than that. Pennsylvania, -280, which implies 74%.
Can I say something about that?
You can.
Dick Durbin, our senator here, I asked him yesterday what two states is he going to watch to give him a sort of tip as to which way the election's going to go. He said Florida and Pennsylvania. You've got Florida as a slight favorite to go red.
And Pennsylvania about, you know, 73, 74%.
To go blue.
And the last one's Wisconsin, which is -300 for the blue. That's 75%.
So to summarize, the people are betting that the red states are Florida, Iowa, Ohio, Texas. The blue states are Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. 30 seconds left. What's your pick of the week?
I like Michigan, -3. They've got a quarterback named Joe Milton, who you may not know, but you will know after Saturday. They're facing Minnesota, night game in the Twin Cities. And you know better than anybody, when Minnesota's supposed to have a good year, that never usually happens.
That's so true.
Go Bears!
Sam Panionovich joins us Wednesdays to talk about sports
Thursdays.
And wagering and sports wagering. And he joins us on Thursdays.